Amen. How many are truly grateful to be here tonight? In spite of all the cold, in spite of the snow and the bad weather, we bless the Lord. Thank God for saying, Kathy.
Amen.
Be shall fair. You know, God is a good God. Now, you know, Pastor Harper's message on Sunday was an impact of faith. Impact of faith. When it's an impact, that means there's a what? Change. Amen. And his subtopic was our theme. Believe in God. Believe in God. When everything is stacked against you. In essence, that's what that really means is when man can't help you, God can. When others can't help you, when you can't find a human help, then
God can.
So who did it? God did it, amen. Who wants to quote our scriptures? Luke 8:48. I'm about to start calling some of y'all out just to put y'all on this. I'm calling y'all out because I already know y'all know it.
Answered her,
not her, him, her. He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh. We do this every service. Y'all just gotta remember what I say. Here we have to read it. There cometh one from the rulers of the synagogue of God's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not. You know what he was saying? In essence, the odds against you. She's dead. There won't be a change. But when Jesus heard it, can somebody say, can Jesus just hear? Can he just hear? But when Jesus heard it, he said unto him, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. So all you have to do is just say it with me. All right, this is what, the second month of the year? I know all my high school students got it. Right? Justice and Davina and Nicholas and Gio and Elijah. Ooh, did I see somebody else? Diamond. Oh. Shaira. All my high school people got it because this is easy for them. It's only three verses. No, actually Brooke we were watching this YouTube video with her, and the YouTube video is they sing this song for the capital of all the states. Well, it used to be 50, I think it's 51 now because Hawaii, right? All 51 states, it says the capitals. Do you know Brendan knows every last one of those capitals? Some of them I don't even know. But he knew it from a song. So if you don't want to learn it the hard way, just put it to a song. Right? Amen. But truly, we need to really get it down in our hearts to believe God against all odds. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading tonight. Our scripture reading tonight is what we were going to go over on Sunday before the greater light came. And every lesser light has enough intelligence to sit down when there's a what?
Greater light.
Right? So the sun, it's very rare that the sun and the moon will be out at the same time because the sun is a so when the greater light comes out, the moon takes the back seat. Amen. But the moon on Sunday was going to go with us to the greater light came. Hey, right? All right. Amen. And the message that we want to deal with tonight is how important is God's presence in your life? Tonight, how important is God's presence in your life? And we'll start off in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read three verses of scriptures here, verses 16, 17, and 18. Then after that, we'll go to Psalms, the 51st vision of Psalms, amen? So 2 Timothy chapter 4, how important is God's presence in your life? You know, I remember being a kid, and even as an adult, you know, somebody asked you to go somewhere, you say, I'm not going to go unless you Go with me. Right? Because there was a dependency on the individual. But how many know God can go with you when nobody else can go? God will be with you when no one else will be with you. When everybody else forsakes you, God will be there. Amen. Timothy 1 Timothy 4:16 reads, "At my first answer," do we all have it?
Yes.
If you don't have it, someone speak. "At my first answer, no man," at my first answer, "no man stood with me, but all men," hallelujah. "But they might forsake me, but the Lord won't forsake you. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding
the Lord's liberty."
How important is God's presence in your life? Amen. When everybody else forsakes you, "the Lord stood with me and
strengthened me."
Nobody else can strengthen you like God can. Amen. "That by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth." Remember on Sunday, one of Pastor Harper's scriptures was that he shut up the mouth of the lion. Alright, so Paul said he didn't just shut him up, but he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from not a man, but who's going to deliver me? How important is God's presence in your life? "And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and as I said, I know growing up as a kid, especially when you get into some of those challenging situations, you say, "Well, I'll go, but you got to go with me." Right? It's like we're supposed to be doing this seminar next week at the council, my wife and I. And I said, "Well, why don't you just go ahead and do it?" She's going to say, "Nope, I'm not going to go this." You go with me. Yeah, because we have a tendency to depend on the arms of flesh. Amen. And Jeremiah says, "Cursed be the man that trusts in flesh." Amen. So tonight, in all that we experience, whether it's good, whether it's bad, how important is God's presence? Now we like I said, I grew up, I love my mother. My mother did a lot to help me and show me the right way. But as a kid, we used to sing this song, "Never Alone." Y'all ever sing that? "Never Alone." God promised never to leave me. Who was the one that promised never to leave you alone? God. And a portion of the song said, one day your mother's going to leave you. Your father's going to leave you. I didn't think it would be so soon, but it happened. And the chorus of the song is, "He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone." Only God can make you that promise. Amen. You lose friends. You lose those that are close to you. But God will never leave you. Jesus said, "I'm with you
always.
I'm with you
always."
Ain't nobody else can go with you always. So it's so important tonight, young people, aged people, those that are in between, that we realize the importance of God in our lives. Amen. It's like if you ever go into one of those troubled neighborhoods, and I was watching during the over in France when they had the bombing. They said there's some neighborhoods that the police don't even go in.
No-go zone.
Right? What is it called, Joe?
No-go zone.
The no-go zone. Right? Because of how bad it is. So nobody would go into these some of these neighborhoods because of the terrorists and because, I guess, they have their own rule of law and order. So even the police said, we don't go in there. That's a bad situation when the law, the authority, can't go there. But guess what? God is there. Amen. So even though if I'm called to go into that, and if God sent me, I'm not going to be foolish and go. But if God sends me, I'll go. Because he said, I'm with you.
Always.
Right? So if God sends you, God prepares you. And as I said years ago, I read my grandmother had this saying on the wall, and this is one of the things that we need to really get in our souls. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. God will never send you to a place or bring you to an area, or take you to a height, a place of calling on your life that he cannot sustain you in it if he calls you. Amen. So tonight, how important is God's presence? Now, there are times, how many of us mess up? Any of us mess up? Somebody said, you ought to levitate. Right? We mess up. But God still is a loving God. We can fail God. God is still loving. Now let's go to Psalms 51. Amen. Right now we're dealing with the application, with the principle of God's presence. But then we're going to actually deal with an actual application of how important God's presence is. Other than Paul. Turn my reverb off. That's for y'all singers. I don't want to reverb. I don't want to hear myself but once. Somebody said, keep moving. Amen. Psalms 51 and verse, we're going to start with verse 6. And then we're going to go down to verses 10 and 12. Now tonight we're dealing with how important God's presence is in everybody's life. God's presence counts. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said, I'm with you. Actually, let's go over there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Can we read that together? Because we don't want it to just hear it. Amen. But as we said, we want it to spiritually marinate down in our souls. So when we leave, that, you know, it's like meat. When you ever marinate meat, and that flavor gets all the way through it. When we leave tonight, we want this flavor to get all the way through you. Amen? God's presence. How important it is to have his presence with you. Amen? Let's go to verse 20 of the 28th chapter. We all know that in the 18th, he said, what kind of power? All power. Now, I never heard an individual ever say this. All power in and in earth. A lot of people have some power on earth. They can't touch heaven. That's the presence. That's the throne of God. All power in heaven and in earth, Jesus said, is given unto me. And then verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even which is the age of the church age of that period of time. He said, I'm going to be with you. Nobody else can make that claim. Nobody else can make that stick in your life that I will be with you. And not only will I be with you, he said, but the thing that's great for you is that I got all the power. Can we say all power? Come on, all power. I got all the power. Amen. So now let's go to Psalms 51 and verse 6, read. This is David the psalmist. After Nathan had confronted him, and David messed up. As I said, we all mess up. But isn't it great to know that God is merciful? Unlike us, not y'all, I'm talking about them other us's. Can we say other us's? When you mess up them other us's, keep reminding you. Them other us's? Y'all ever heard of other us? I need money, but I just a lot of us will remind you that you sometimes it might be years later, but them other us's will keep reminding you that you. But I heard the Lord say, if you confess and forsake your sin, I will cast it into the sea of. And he said, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember. But the mother us, they remember. Right, so it's so important that we have a relationship with God. Because a relationship with God will not keep us as a victim or keep us incarcerated in our errors. When you have a real relationship with God, you will not be incarcerated in your error or your wrong. And when you're incarcerated, you're just in prison to that wrong. And you can't get out. When you don't have the real or proper relationship with God, you can never get out because you're always looking back. But the scripture says, forgetting about the other us is a bringing up. All right? Forgetting those things which are what? Yes, if I look back, what am I about, 25 years old now? Oh, a little bit older? Oh, 21, that's it. I'm feeling that. All right, if I look back at all those years, I can see a whole lot of mess ups. But thank God I don't look back, but I look forward. I'm wondering tonight, how many of us are incarcerated, or how many of us are actually hostages to our past? You can't get forward, you can't go anywhere because our past has us in a hostage situation. And unfortunately, the negotiator is the devil. But God looks at us and says, I don't expect no charge. If you mean right in your heart and you've done the right thing, God said, I've already forgiven you. But the devil likes to clean our minds. And he likes to make you feel like you have to do something to be forgiven when the Bible said we are saved by grace and not of works. Because salvation is a gift of God when you mean right. Tell them all the usses. Y'all ever see the mother usses?
Yes, sir.
Every once in a while I run into some of the mother usses. Right? But I can't let the mother usses keep me bound by my. Yes, I made mistakes. I make mistakes every day. But I can't let the other usses keep me bound in those mistakes. Because I can't see forward looking in the rearview mirror. Right. So a lot of us are trying to drive. It's like, how many of us went to Georgia? Ella Hitchcraft told a story in the leadership conference. And this is what happened to a lot of saints. Not you all, but some of other saints. He said that the bishop's car was in the front and another car was in the back. And the car in the back did not know where they were going. So all of a sudden, the car in the back passed the bishop's car. And he was going and didn't know where he was going. So when they got a chance to stop, the bishop said, well, do you know where you're going? He's like, no. He said, well, if you don't know where you're going, why did you pass me? He said, because I was watching you in my rearview mirror. So instead of him standing behind, you know, some people gotta always be in the front. I just wonder, how you gonna watch him if you go past the exit and the bishop get off? How are you watching them in your rearview mirror? Well, he said, that's the problem of leadership. Some people need to be following, but they keep jumping out in the front. Amen. But let's get to this, because I know how you all are with your time. Oh, let me take out my watch. Oh, I got a little bit of time. All right. Now we're going to deal with Psalm 51, verse 6. The David, after he was confronted with his wrong, he acknowledged. He said, Lord, it's against thee and thee only. When you mess up, just remember it's between you and God. If you remember it's between you and God, then there's not an individual, fighting the devil in hell can make you bow to that mess up. God wants us to go forward and not to go backwards. And if you don't go forward, if you stand still, it's like you're going backwards. Amen. God doesn't care how, he does care how fast you go forward, but he never intends for us to go backwards. God never stands for us as saints and in church to stand still. He intends for us to go forward. So David says, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in thee. If you can't be truthful in your heart, test 1, 2. Which one is this? Turn this one up a little bit now. If you can't be truthful in your heart, I think this is 7. You can't be truthful at all. He says, so God desires truth where?
In our hearts.
If we were to examine our hearts tonight, is there real truth? Amen? So God desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to not guess, but to act on the inward parts. So David says, create in me a what kind of heart? Well, why would he ask for God to create? Right? What will you create? Create me to make something out of nothing. That's a creation. Right? Like if you create something, now we're not talking about amending something and making it better, but to create. David said, Lord, when I look at me, my old heart is all messed up. He said, so the only way I can be right before you is I need you to create in me a
clean heart
and to renew a
right spirit.
So if there's a right spirit, there's also a wrong spirit. So a lot of times in our mix up, our mess ups, we come with a bad attitude. You know what I call a bad attitude? God said, wait a minute, you can't come with me with that bad attitude until you get your heart. Because when the heart is right, the attitude is right also. Can I get an amen? David said, most of all, Lord, you are important to me. I've lost my kingdom. I've lost family. I've lost a lot. He said, but I only make one request. Can we say one request?
One request.
Make one request. He said, cast me not.
God,
is that important? Even in our mess ups, even when we don't get it right, even when we fall short, even when we fail, God can take the crooked thing and make it straight if we keep his presence with us. So he said, Lord, cast me not away from thy presence and
take not thy
Holy
Spirit from me.
He said, the next verse says, you know what? Everybody else know I messed up. Everybody else has a foot on me. Everybody else is causing me to be depressed and to be sad. He said, Lord, the only thing, don't take your presence, he said, but restore the joy of
salvation.
Because everybody else got a foot on me. Everybody else got a word on me. Because I messed up. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And I'm only with that free spirit means a willingness to help us. So we're doing tonight with what? God's presence. We can't do anything without his presence. Amen. If you're saved and you're living right, his presence, you will be with it forever. Amen. The scripture says, he says, come enter ye to the joy of the Lord, and we will be with the joy of the Lord what? Forever. His presence. It's something about God's presence that a man, a woman, a child, or no one else can replace. His presence. And David, as high as he was as king, now, this was after David had killed Goliath. This is after David had subdued the kingdom. This is after David had won many, many wars. He realized he needed God's presence. And tonight, whatever you do, wherever you go, please keep God with you. Now let's go to Let's go to Psalm 16 first, and then we'll go with Exodus. Exodus is an actual application of Israel when they came out of Egypt, how dependent they were upon the Lord. Amen? Psalm 16 and verses 8 through 11. We're dealing tonight with His presence.
Amen.
Somebody says, I ever needed the Lord before. Y'all know that. If I ever needed the Lord before, I they got this epidemic, that epidemic, this terrorist, that if the world ever needed. Not just us, if the world ever needed the Lord before. They sure do. Not Mike, but they sure do need him. Verse 8 says, I have sent the Lord sometimes before me. I sent the Lord before me when I feel like it.
Always.
I sent the Lord before me when I'm in a good mood.
Always.
I sent the Lord before me when I got a pocket full of money.
Always.
He said, I sent the Lord always before me because he is at my. You know what I mean? God is with me. Amen. Though a million may come against me, if God is with me, he said, I shall not. I wonder how many tonight are in the point or at the stage of being moved. Because they have not sent the Lord before them. Amen. Now, always means without a break. Right? That's like continuously. What's the difference between continuously and continually? Continually means you have breaks. Continuously means there's no breaks. So when the Lord is always before you, that means he is continuously before you. But when you have highs and lows, that's continually. The Lord is not always before you, then it's easy for you to be moved. Right? Because when things don't go right, because your dependency and your focus is not on the Lord, you'll quit. You get discouraged. You'll give up. You'll have to get 100 phone calls from saints trying to figure out what's wrong. But when the Lord is before you, hallelujah, David said, when all men forsake me, then I will encourage myself in the Lord. Right? Because there's men and everybody speak of stoning David because things weren't working out like they expected. That's when the Lord is with you.
Amen.
You can encourage yourself.
Amen.
Somebody say, well, how can you be encouraged when things are so bad? Because the Lord is always.
Amen.
Can we say always?
Always.
Always before me.
Always.
They threatened to lay me off of my job, but the Lord is
always.
Always before me. Amen. So Psalm 16:8. At verse 9 says, therefore,
my heart is glad.
What did it say? Because the Lord is before me, therefore my
heart is glad.
What kind of hearts we got in here tonight? Amen. Are you a joyful heart? Is your heart glad? Or are you really anticipating misery? It's bad when you anticipate misery. You're happy, but you say, wait till I get to such and such. I know I'm going to be messed up. Your heart is supposed to be glad.
Come on.
Regardless of the circumstances, because the Lord is always. Can we say always?
Always.
He said, I will be glad. Amen. And my glory, joys, and my flesh also shall. You got to get some rest. If God is with you, you will rest. The scripture says, because he did not expect his dearly beloved to stay up late, eat the bread of the flesh. Because God has given us rest. But when you don't have God before you, you don't have rest, you don't have peace, you don't have confidence. Amen. Somebody said, well, how are things? You said, they are just beautiful. And really, they're horrible. But you are projecting what you know the Lord is going to do.
Right, right.
Amen. We don't stay where we are. There, verse 10 says, for thou will not leave
my soul in the dust.
Thank you. This is like a prophecy about Jesus, but it applies to us as well. God will not, when you're right, God will not leave you in a deplorable situation. God, you might go through it, but he will not leave you. Jesus went to hell, but he did not. He went what? Through it. When your heart is glad, when your relationship is right with God, yes, you might walk, feel as though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I heard him say, but I will fear no evil, for thou art. Now you gotta have God's presence. When his presence is with you, you won't fear anything. Or anybody, say amen. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me.
How
you find life without the Lord? He will show you the path of life in
thy presence.
In whose presence? In thy presence, yes, sir. Somebody said, I don't have joy. Get in his presence. Because in his presence is the fullness of joy in his
presence.
There what? We're talking about God's presence. So sometimes you just get along with you and the Savior. Amen. The son said, why don't you ask?
The Savior.
Why don't you what?
Ask the Savior.
You know, when we have to pay for something, we willingly will pay money to get help. Right? And there's nothing wrong with it. If I'm sick, I'm going to go to the doctor and pay to get well. Right? If I'm in some legal trouble, I'm going to go to my attorney and pay to get some help. Right? We will willingly pay for a lot of things, but the Lord said, all you got to do for me is
ask.
Amen. How is it so easy for us to do the hard things? And we struggle so much at the end. So all you have to do is ask. You have not because. And then you ask and receive not because you ask. Motives, amen. All right, let's get to Exodus 33, and then this is all of those were, I guess, a principle. Let's deal with real application. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, he said, I'm going to be with you. And because they didn't have enough faith, he had to give them a visible sign, right? So he was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire. That was his presence was with them. Amen.
Amen.
Verse third, chapter 33 of Exodus, verse 1. All right. Can I have 10 minutes?
Amen.
No, you better give it to me because we don't.
Sure.
No, just 10 minutes. I know. Kids got school and all that, so I know all you parents, we don't want y'all to use this as an excuse not to come out on Wednesday. So we'll stay on schedule. Unless the Lord says different. All right, verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst
of thee.
Now, let's see what Moses and the children of Israel does when God says, I will not go up. And the reason he said, I will not go up in the latter part, he said, because you are a. In other words, God says do one thing and they always did the other. He said, you're stiff-necked. I'm trying to help you. I've been leading you. I've been guiding you. I've been delivering you. But you, in the end, you always do what you want to do. Thank God that was Israel and not us. Right? Thank us. We don't do what we want to do. We're going to do the Lord's thing. So we're not stiff-necked. Like I said down south, like, I'm not talking about you, less than you. That's what we used to say, less than you. I don't know what less than you. but it sounds good, right? All right, he says, verse 4 says that when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned and no man. A lot of times we're interested in dressing up the outside, but there's some issues on the inside. When they heard that God wasn't going with them, they said, you know what, we can't even beautify ourselves with an external. Because God said he's not going to go with us. Because God's presence was that important, they said, we can't even adorn ourselves properly. Right. And for just, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, I think, 3 verse 4, right quick. Now, even though this is dealing with women and the way they present themselves, it's an actual principle that we can apply in our life. Right. The children of Israel say, we're not going to even put on our ornaments because we want God's presence that day. God has said that we're stiff-necked, we're hard-headed, and he's not going to go with us. And we're not going to put on our ornaments. We want to show God that we have a spirit, a mourning spirit. All right? So 1 Peter 3, 4 says, but let it be the what?
The hidden
man
of the heart.
David said, desire true where?
In the heart.
In the inner parts, right? So let it be the hidden man of heart, and that which is not
corruptible.
Lord, thank you. I just want to be right. Even the
ornaments.
The ornaments. They wouldn't put on the ornaments because the ornaments would not get them the closer to God. Because the ornament of a what?
Meek
and the sight
of God
is of
greatness.
What kind of what talk about the inward part?
Yes.
Not the outward part. So Israel said, you know what? We're so messed up. It's time for us to rend our hearts. Not our garments. I just want to be right now
in
the eyes of the Lord. Now let's go back to Exodus 33 and we will hasten this to a close. Well, Matthew, you left? You don't believe we're hastening to a close? I'll try. I'll be close. I promise. All right. All right. And the people heard this, they went put on that card. Verse 5 said, for the Lord has said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy garments from thee, that I may know what to do. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And we know Mount Horeb is the Mount of God. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. Afar off, normally they pitch the tabernacle
in the camp.
And if you ever see the tabernacle, they have, how many tribes were there?
12.
When they pitched the tabernacle, each tribe faced the tabernacle from four sides. Right? So each, there were three tribes, I forget the names of them, that faced the north, three tribes faced the south, three. So the tabernacle is usually in the midst of the camp. But things were so bad, Moses, he set up the tabernacle outside of the camp. Because that's how bad things were. Because what he said now, if I do it in the middle, then everybody can come. But if I set it up on the outside, all one's going to come are those who want to be with God. So if I set it up like we usually set it up, everybody will follow their normal routine. But Moses said, not this time. If you want to really show God you mean well, I'm going to set it up afar off from the camp. And you want to be with God, then you got to come. You got to come to where God is at. Amen. And pitch it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and call it the tabernacle congregation. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out. Right? Because you cannot seek God doing what you normally do when you're all messed up. So you're trying to get God, but I want to find God, but I want it to be like it usually is. You're going to seek God, you got to go outside of what you normally do. Find God. So many of us are trying to find God, doing it like we always do it. But I wonder what happened when God moves the tabernacle afar off. When things aren't like they normally are, will you still? Will you still seek Him? Will you still seek Him? Amen. So you can seek Him. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And Moses went in and came out, verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and, because they realized that cloud was the presence. The presence of God. So when they saw the cloud, and the presence, they worship. What do we do when we feel God's presence? Do we worship? Amen. Do we fall down? Do we honor the Lord when we see His presence? And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Now we know it wasn't literally face to face, because the scripture said, no man has seen God face to face and live. So he spoke to God. He's just showing you how intimate their relationship was, the type of fellowship that he had with Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his. That's how close Moses and God was. He spoke to him like a what? Friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua stayed in the tabernacle. Verse 12 says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, I know thee. I want the Lord to know me by name. I know I'll be all right. Don't you want to know you by name?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, just know me by name. He said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said,
my presence
shall go with thee, and I will. This was after he had said there was stiff-necked and hard-headed people. When you just change, when you repent, when you do right, God honors that. And Moses said, verse 14, the verse 15, I'm sorry, he says, he said, if you don't go with me, then guess what? I guess in every meeting, she said, if you don't go with me, I ain't going
nowhere.
That's down south. I ain't going nowhere. So I wanted tonight, as we all stand, I told y'all it would be on time. As we all stand, how many of us are going places and we don't have God's presence? Moses said, Lord, if your presence don't go, don't let me send me, because I won't go. Because your presence is that important for me to be right. And see, all the words of the devil come forward. How important is God's presence to you tonight? How important is God's presence of a testimony?